Appreciate the good group we have here tonight and others joining us Facebook Live. If you'll turn to Daniel chapter 9, Sunday night I shared verses 20 to 26, which is the prophecy of 70, they're called weeks, that God had purposed and planned for Israel to complete his purposes, his saving purposes. And what we talked about Sunday night were prophecies that have been fulfilled. Tonight, we look at a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled and may be fulfilled soon. We'll see. So we're picking up with verse 27. And it says there, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 1 7-year period. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate, or upon the desolator, it can be translated. Well, again, tonight we're going to complete this prophecy about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And in our last message, I pointed out that the word week refers to a unit of seven. Normally, 7 days of a week. But sometimes the term seven can refer to 7 years. And I shared Sunday night a few examples of that. And what we've covered so far is the first 69 of the 70-year periods that were prophesied for Israel, 483 years. And the 69 years or weeks, 7 year periods, culminated in the Messiah being presented to Israel, we believe, at the triumphal entry. And then shortly thereafter, according to the prophecy, that prince would be cut off. He was executed by the Romans and by the Jews who called for his crucifixion. And both in that prophecy and in the prophecy of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, that would be followed by the destruction of Jerusalem, which indeed took place in 70 AD. And in Luke 21:24, it says that Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And so from 30 AD to 70 AD, roughly, there was a strong ministry to the Jewish people. But upon the destruction of Jerusalem, especially by that time, the focus shifted away from Israel into the building up of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, both of Jew and Gentile. And so we are in that parenthesis period between the 69 weeks and the 70th week of Daniel we read about in this prophecy. So there's one more 7 year time period that has not been fulfilled. And even Jesus indicated that this future prophecy had not been fulfilled, certainly in his day. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, he refers to the abomination of desolation referred to by Daniel the prophet. And that's essentially what this 70th week of Daniel is talking about, as we shall see. And so Verse 27 from the time of Jesus was still future, and since that hasn't been fulfilled, it is still future for us. However, the conditions are right to where this prophecy certainly could be fulfilled within our lifetime. And let me explain why. One is that, you know, from 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and what we read about, the sacrifices ended, being cut off, well, that couldn't be fulfilled until Jerusalem is rebuilt, until Israel gains possession of Jerusalem, until a rebuilt temple takes place. Well, you know, for almost 2,000 years, this prophecy could not be fulfilled because the Jews were not in possession of the land. They were not in possession of Israel and of Jerusalem. But starting in 48 A.D., they did repossess the land. In 1967, they repossessed, they essentially began to control Jerusalem, and their control of Jerusalem is becoming stronger and stronger. And so we are living in the days when the temple could be rebuilt, this prophecy could be fulfilled, certainly within our lifetime. And so that means that the Lord could be coming again soon. And it's exciting to know that we are living in the days when Christ's coming could be very soon indeed. Of course, many believe that the rapture will take place before the 70th week of Daniel. And if that's the case, then it could be at any time now, you know, because the temple could be rebuilt in a relatively short time to fulfill what we read about here in verse 27. And so what does verse 27 tell us about this last seven-year period in God's dealings with Israel? First of all, that the Antichrist will arise. The word Antichrist is not used here, but it's used in 1 John. Verse 26 talks about the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And so it talks about a prince who is to come. It's not talking about the Messiah here because he arises from the people that will destroy Jerusalem and the sanctuary. This is a reference to the Antichrist. Well, who is this Antichrist that is prophesied that shall arise according to verse 26 and verse 27? Well, one clue that we have is that the people of the Antichrist will be the ones who will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And so that means the Antichrist arises from the Roman Empire, the people of the Roman Empire. And so that tells me that the Antichrist will not be from China. He will not be from Korea. He will be either a European or Middle Easterner, the part of the old Roman Empire. And so that much we can draw from this prophecy about what the Antichrist, who he may be. And the main point I want to make is this, that just as Israel faced an Antichrist figure during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, which did some of the same types of things we read about in verse 27, even so they will face another Antichrist, but this time it will be the Antichrist that the Bible talks about. And so those who have discernment from prophecy will understand the days in which we are living, and that the Antichrist indeed could arise in these days. The second thing we see in this prophecy is that the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel. In verse 27 it says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant, an agreement with many for 1 week." He will make a 7-year, evidently, treaty, a covenant with many. And again, this is done by the prince that shall come. And notice that he will do it with many. So this tells me that it won't be just Israel and maybe one nation, but probably Israel and a number of their surrounding nations that are currently at odds with Israel, at enmity with Israel. Of course, the Middle East conflict is a big problem. No one has been able to solve this problem. It seemed like they have been at war for millennia now. And so somehow this highly skilled political leader with great abilities and great oratory and oratorical abilities, political abilities. Revelation even indicates that he'll be able to do signs and wonders. He will convince Israel and their neighbors to make peace, evidently. And this is what this agreement is about. And so, it's, you know, the Antichrist, since the United States of America is largely from the people of the Roman Empire, it is at least possible that the Antichrist could come from the United States of America, but I believe more than likely it will be someone heading up a European confederation. And even Yasser Arafat many years ago said, you know, we need Europe to be involved in a peace treaty. And that fits right in line with this prophecy. And, of course, the reason there will be this agreement is to bring peace to the region. But I suspect also in order to solve what is one of the underlying problems, and that is the Muslims want to worship their God in their way, and the Jews want to worship, and some Jews want to rebuild the temple and restore temple worship. The Dome of the Rock is sitting where pretty much where the temple used to be. And so I suspect that the Antichrist will come up with some agreement where the Muslims will be able to have their worship and have full access to their sacred shrines, and the Jews will be able to rebuild the temple. Now, some believe that the Dome of the Rock will suffer some destructive fate, perhaps an earthquake, perhaps some other kind of disaster, and that the Antichrist will bring about where the Jews rebuild the temple right where the Dome of the Rock was. I don't think that's necessarily has to be the case. It could be that they could almost be side by side with access to the Jews to the temple and Muslims to the Dome of the Rock. We'll see, you know, how that plays out. But one thing that we know is in the middle of verse 27, it says, "He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering." So that's one reason why we believe that based on this prophecy and a few other prophecies, that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And probably even the rebuilding of the temple is part of this agreement. And then also there's a few prophecies that indicate that the Antichrist will not only stop the sacrifice and worship of the God of Israel, but that he will demand that he himself be worshiped instead. You can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he will demand to be worshiped. And of course, it says it will be for 7 years. For one week, it will establish that covenant for 1 week. Of course, that is the duration of the tribulation that you read about in the book of Revelation, divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years, and in the midst of it is when he will stop the Jewish worship. And there are other scriptures that back up this belief that a major purpose for this treaty is to bring peace. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, we read the prophecy of the four horsemen. And the rider on the white horse goes forth basically to do battle, to make war, but he has a bow but no arrows. And it's quite possible that it indicates that he will gain power and he will conquer through peace rather than through actual war. And so getting this peace treaty fits in with that as well. By the way, that was 2 Thessalonians 2:4, where he will demand that he be worshipped, where he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so this 7-year timetable that we read about with the 70th year of Daniel fits in with the 3.5 years plus 3.5 years in the book of Revelation. Now remember what Jesus said in John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And so the Jews are going to view this Antichrist as almost a messianic figure. They rejected Jesus, but they will receive him. They will enter into agreements and cooperate with him and give their allegiance to him in order to have peace and security with their Arab nations. Now, folks, we know what Iran is up to. They are bent on getting nuclear weapons, and the folks in the White House aren't going to stop them. I don't think anybody is going to stop them. And listen, they're bent on the destruction of Israel. A lot of the Arab neighbors are outright intent on the destruction of Israel. In fact, in their Muslim philosophy, this Holocaust has to take place in order for their utopian world to come to pass. And so they think that destroying Israel will help initiate their view of the kingdom. And Israel knows this. Israel knows that they're just like the size of a state. They need some kind of security, and they need the backing of the international community to help secure that. And so, again, everything is falling into place to do exactly what the prophecy of verse 27 says. But notice what's going to happen next. The Antichrist will break the covenant. He will negotiate, I assume, this 7-year agreement, but he will break it. He says in verse 27, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Evidently, the first 3.5 years will be a time of relative peace. some degree of prosperity. You know, the Jews will rebuild the temple. Things will be going well. But he's going to cause the Jewish worship to cease and demand that he himself be worshipped. And by the way, history is kind of repeating itself because Antiochus Epiphanes came in and basically ended the sacrifices, ended the Jewish worship of their God. He didn't like the way the Jews were totally and completely in allegiance to God instead of to him. And so he ended the Jewish sacrifice worship, set up an abomination of false gods and sacrifice swine and all that kind of thing. History is going to repeat itself in the last days. And notice what, again, what he will do in place of the temple worship. We read in the last of verse 27, "And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. And then in the very last of verse 27, he talks about that which is determined will be poured out on the desolate or desolator. And so there's some abomination that's going to bring desolation and destruction. So what would that abomination be? Well, the word abomination is used most in the Old Testament in reference to idolatry and false worship. And so the Antichrist will commit a grave abomination when he insists that he himself be worshipped. I imagine like the Roman emperors, as they set up their statues of themselves and demanded that they be worshipped as God, even so the Antichrist will do the same thing. And in Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place," Jesus himself referred back to the abomination that leads to desolation. And surely that is false worship of the Antichrist and idolatry associated with the Antichrist. Of course, many Jews will refuse to worship the Antichrist. Any of the Christian believers that the book of Revelation talks about are obviously going to refuse to worship the Antichrist. And so in that middle of that seven-year period when this takes place, that will lead to the Great Tribulation and be accompanied by great persecution because of their refusal to worship the Antichrist or his image. And one lesson that we can draw from verse 27 by way of application is that the Antichrist is a child of the devil. He is inspired of the devil, empowered by the devil, perhaps even indwelt by the devil. And the devil is a liar. He's a covenant breaker. And so the Antichrist, you can't trust him. He's going to not keep his word but break his covenant. And by the way, have you learned that you can't trust politicians? You know, I mean, they make promises and they break them all the time, you know. And the Antichrist is going to be the same. But, you know, that's the way the devil and his crowd are. They break covenants. They don't keep their word. But God's people are to be men and women of truth. We are to keep our covenants. We are to keep our agreements. Let us not be like the devil or as Antichrist. Well, finally, notice what's going to happen. We read in the last of verse 27, "Even until the consummation," that is the completion of the 70 weeks of Daniel, "which is determined is poured out on the desolate or desolator. And so the Antichrist is going to commit abominations. He is going to conduct a campaign of terror against Jews and any believers of the true God and persecute them, but his evil will not last long. It will not last more than, certainly not more than 7 years, and the worst of it won't last more than 3.5 years. He will meet his end. God will judge him. That is made very clear in verse 27. And so here we see that the Antichrist will be judged. History is not going to end with the Antichrist being worshipped by the world, but by Christ being worshipped by the world. And I said that idolatry and false worship is called an abomination many times in the Old Testament and a few times in the New Testament as well. And so such an abomination will be judged. And notice verse 24, if you go back to that, that God's purpose during this prophetic time period includes finishing the transgression, making an end of sins. And so God is going to finish the transgression, finish the rebellion, put an end to sin when Jesus comes again and judges the Antichrist and judges the world. And what we read about in the last of verse 26 is described in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, where the beast and the false prophet are seized, and they'll be locked away for 1,000. No, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. At the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes again. By the way, I did a little study of the word abomination. It's a fairly common word in the Old Testament, to some degree in the New Testament. An abomination is a sin that is heinous, despicable, and definitely brings the judgment of God, severe judgment. And can you think of other sins besides idolatry and false worship that are identified in Scripture as an abomination? Homosexuality? Can you think of any others? Let me share a few that I found. Basically, transgender practices like a woman wearing a man's clothes and vice versa. Dishonest scales, lying lips, pride, adultery. Proverbs 6:18-19 adds a few more. Hands that shed innocent blood. And by the way, an unborn baby is the most innocent of all. That's an abomination. And then it mentions a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, and one who sows discord among his brethren. Folks, the last few years, we have politicians and others that are sowing discord in the United States of America. Critical race theory does that, and other actions and teachings do the same thing. There are many abominations that are being practiced in the United States of America. And listen, if abomination brings desolation, America, if it doesn't repent, is going to face destruction. And it's certainly when Jesus comes again, if not before. And so, America, if we don't turn from these abominations, the Bible makes clear what is in store for us. And so the purposes of God will then at last be fulfilled. This prophecy talks about in verse 24, if you go back to it, that he will bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, which could refer, as I said, to the millennial kingdom temple, where the nations will worship God. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. And we see the conditions that are ripe for the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so that tells me that the coming of Jesus could be very, very near. And that is a wonderful thing. And so we're living in the days when these prophecies could be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is coming again soon. And the question is, are you ready for his return? Will you share in his victory? Too many people are going to be following the Antichrist and will share in his doom and destruction. But those who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus and follow him will share in his victory. You know, I'm not too good at riding horses. Cheryl can tell you that. Someday the Bible says that we are going to ride on white horses with Jesus and share in his victory over the Antichrist and over the evil of this world. What a day that will be. Father, I thank you that Jesus is coming again, that these prophecies tell of difficult and disturbing days, especially for unbelievers. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Christ. We thank you for the victory that we have in Christ, that we have confidence that God is on the throne and nothing is going to take him by surprise, and he's working everything according to plan. And thank you, Father, that we can have discernment of the times in which we are living. And we look forward to the day when we will meet the Lord in the air and spend eternity with him. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name.